Well, great to see you again this evening, and thanks very much for coming. You've already had a welcome, and I give you a double welcome, a second welcome. We're glad you're here. And I'm sure I don't need to remind the children that are 10 years old and under of the offer that has been made of, later next week, you being able to tell me what different things like a famine means or an earthquake means. And tonight I got another one to add to your list, but I won't tell you what it is just right now, but you listen and very soon I will tell you. And you can add that one to your list and go over them at home. And as you do that, they'll try to remember the lessons that we learn from each of these things. That God uses natural disasters because he wants to speak to us. He wants to tell us that he's bigger than us. He wants to tell us that he's still up there, even though we're down here, and we often forget about him, that he's alive, he's powerful, and he's well, and he just wants you to be on his side. So that's what God wants to tell you in some of these disasters. But tonight, we'll look at another one. I don't know, as I'm speaking to the children, have you ever heard of a mountain that moves, or a mountain, they say, that seem to talk a little bit? I don't think I've ever heard a mountain talk. But there are those that said that this particular mountain used to talk. In fact, the old timers, they never ever would put up their tents anywhere underneath this mountain because there was something about this mountain that made them afraid. I don't know if it's because it talked a little bit or moved a little bit, but they kept their distance. And one night, it talked really loud. But before we talk about that, I want to read a verse from Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. The words of the missionary Paul as he writes here in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Down to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In verse 1, we read of the desire of a missionary for others to be saved. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The desire of a person that somebody else might be saved. But in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the desire that I might be saved. The desire that you yourself might be saved. The great desire, the longing inside of your heart that says, I want to be saved. And we really pray and trust that there's going to be those in our gospel meetings here in these 10 nights that are quickly going to go by, that you will have a desire, if you're not saved, you will have a desire to be saved. And that some night you will say to your dad or to your mom or to somebody else or even to God, you don't need to talk to anybody else. You can talk directly to God and say, God, I want to be saved. My desire, my longing is to have my sins forgiven. I want to be saved. Is there anybody here like that? You don't need to put up your hand. But I hope there is. And you don't need to be 50 years old or 100 years old. You can be 5 years old. And if you can understand what we're saying tonight, that you need to be saved, maybe you'll be able to say to God, God, I want to be saved. Now, we know that Christians have the desire for somebody else to be saved, and that's why you're here tonight. And that's why maybe you brought your family, that's why you brought friends, and that's why you invited others, even though they don't come. And that's why you're praying, and that's why you helped give out John 3:16 with an invite, because your desire is that other people might be saved. And over and above everybody else, it's God's great desire that you be saved. But this mountain that I was thinking about, one night I said it talked really loudly. And so tonight I want to talk to you about a landslide. I might mention an avalanche too, but a landslide is when a big piece of mountain breaks away from the rest of the mountain, goes tumbling down into the valley and crushing whatever is in its pathway. And nobody usually can move it away because it's too much to move away. And so the mountain comes down and whoever is underneath gets crushed. That's a landslide. And so this evening I'd like to talk about the Frank Slide just west of Lethbridge. When I was living in Lethbridge for a couple of years, I used to go to the Crow's Nest area, and there's a mall there that once a week I had a table in a mall. And about 5 miles before you got to Crow's Nest, you went over a little bit of an incline in the highway, number 3 highway, and you went over a whole lot of rock and over a whole lot of rubble. And you could look over to the south and you see a great big chunk of the mountain that had broken away. And there's no trees growing there. And it was very obvious that a big piece of the mountain had fallen down. And there was a what? There was a landslide back in April the 29th, 1903. I used to see that a lot. And I used to wonder, all the people that lost their lives, there's maybe 60 or 70 people that died. It could have been a lot worse. But as the slide came down, it only hit the west, the eastern part of the little town of Frank that maybe had 500 or 600 people in it. Actually, the little community of Frank was only 2 years old when the landslide hit it. It didn't have a very long duration before that great big disaster and catastrophe. But it was an awful night. They called it 90 seconds of terror. Because in 90 seconds, they say there was 90 million tons of rock that came rushing down the mountainside, over the little town, over the railroad track, and over the highway and up the other side, and left 70 people dead. They say that people heard it 2 or 3 hours away in the middle of the night. They wondered what the big rumble was, what the big thunder was. Well, the mountain that the old-timers were always saying was talking. Turtle Mountain talked that night like it had never talked before. And people never forgot what it said. And so a landslide can be an awful thing. What's a landslide? It's when a piece of the mountain breaks off and rushes down into the valley and crushes whatever's below it. So that's the third natural disaster. You've already got a famine, you've got an earthquake, and now you're adding to the list a landslide. But what impresses me about the story of the Frank Slide, not just the tremendous roar that it must have made and the volume of rock that came sliding down, but like in every disaster, there are always your rescue attempts and people that you want to save. And as I thought of that slide, I couldn't help but think of our verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Because just like at the Frank Slide in the little community of Frank, and there's a lot of people buried under the rubble and buried and trapped under the rock, there's people went out and they started to look for them. There was a little girl that was 27 months old. And in the early daylight hour, maybe 3 or 4 hours after the slide had actually occurred, there is a mother who was missing her little 27-month-old daughter. And she went looking for the little girl, just like any mother would. And miraculously, she found the little girl still alive. And her face was covered with mud and dirt and grime. And the mother pulled the little daughter from the rubble. And the first thing she did was to take all the mud off of her face and to clean out her nose because it was almost plugged. She could hardly breathe. And there is a mother that not only had a desire to save her daughter, but there is a mother that saved her daughter. And then there is two other guys. They worked for the railroad. And they were working on the safe part of the town, a part of the town on the western side that never got hit with a slide. When they realized what had happened, they looked at their time and they realized that there was going to be a train coming out of Lethbridge very shortly. And that as a train would come along in the dark and would not see the slide and all the rock over the tracks, they knew they had to get to the train before the train got to the rocks. So while it was dark, up and over the rubble and the mess and the big rocks and the stones, and falling down and scraping and cutting themselves and trying to climb the rocks and continuing on. They had to do that for 2 kilometers through the dark, trying to warn a train that was coming because they desired that it would be saved. One of the guys couldn't make it, gave up in exhaustion. The other guy pushed on, and he got to the edge of the rock rubble. And he ran down the tracks with his lantern just as the CPR train was coming. And he waved the lantern in the train track, and the train stopped before it got to the rubble. Isn't it a wonderful thing that there's people that desire that other people would be saved? And I hope that every Christian here has a desire in your heart to see other people saved. Not from the mess of a landslide, but from their sin. I want to just ask the question then, what really is it that people need to be saved from? If it seems to be so important to be saved, what is it? Well, the first very basic thing is our sin. It said concerning the Lord Jesus, his name shall be called Jesus, or in other words, it really means Jehovah saves, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ had a desire to save me. I'm thankful that his Father had a desire to save a sinner like me. And he made the plan before he ever made the world that he is going to send a son down into this world, and his son was going to die on a cross for our sins, because God the Father and God the Son wanted to save a sinner like me. They had a desire that I'd be saved. You know, I had an extra bonus because I had parents that wanted me to be saved as well. And so they prayed for me likely before I was ever born. And maybe there's some of you here tonight and your parents have prayed for you for decades. Or maybe they prayed for you before you got saved, before you were born. They prayed that you would soon be saved. And maybe you've never stopped to think about it. But you ought to be very, very thankful that you got a mom and dad that prays to God and asks that you might be saved. And not only that, but they bring you to a meeting like this. Because at the meeting where you hear the gospel and you can be saved. You need to be saved from your sins. A lot of people are not very conscious about the effects of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We read in 1 Timothy that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and so sin must be very serious. If the Lord Jesus had to come all the way down from heaven to die for our sin, your sin is very serious. We read in Isaiah chapter 59 that our sin has separated between us and God. And there's a lot of people today, they think they're connected to God. And all the time they're not, because sin has separated between you and God. And the way you were born into this world, you were born with sin, every one of us. And the sin that you're born with, and the sin that you do, the sin that you think, and the sin that you say, whatever form that sin might be and take, it forms a big separation between you and God. And that's why you need to have your sin forgiven so you can come back into a right relationship with God. Sin is a very serious thing. We read about the seriousness of sin in Revelation chapter 21. There shall never, never enter into it, into heaven, anything that defiles or makes a lie, nor worketh an abomination. Anything that's of a sinful taint or a sinful nature will never get into heaven. My friend, you need to be saved from your sin. And that's why people have a desire that you would be saved, because you need to be saved from your sin, something so very serious. We read in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 that you need to be saved from the wrath of God, that God has saved us from wrath. Whether it's a wrath that's going to fall in this world in the tribulation days, or whether it's the wrath that's going to fall over a godless, sinful soul for all eternity. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 36 that the person that believeth not, that the wrath of God abides over that person. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're by nature the children of wrath. And so because of sin, God is angry. And God has to judge your sin, because he has said, the soul that sins, it shall die. And so you have no choice but to be headed to the wrath of God. Unless, of course, you get saved. But you need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from God's wrath. Says Galatians chapter 1 that Jesus gave himself that we might be saved from this present evil world. And God wants you to be saved from the course of this world that's leaving him completely out of it. He wants your life to be a life that counts for him, a life that is lived for him, a life that gives glory and honor to him, not just a life that's lived for yourself. So I hope you understand tonight that you need to be saved. But not everybody is saved. Not everybody gets saved. There are people that think they are good, and the churchgoer, if he is not saved, if she is not saved, they need to be saved. The charity worker, doesn't matter how many thousands of dollars they bring in from knocking at doors and how much good they do for cancer, for whatever sickness or ailment, whatever charity of a good cause. We're not saved by our righteousness, by our good works. Says the Bible, all your good works are just like filthy rags. It kind of rains on our parade, doesn't it? We don't like to think about that. We like to think we're pretty good. But the Bible says all our good works count for nothing. And maybe you're just one of the Christian's kids. You need to be saved. But not everybody gets saved. What a sad thing to think of the many that were sleeping in their homes that night in the little community of Frank when the slide occurred. And they were buried alive in their homes, or their home would have been swept away and buried. And when they're building a highway over that area years later, they did find 10 or 12 different skeletons. Bodies where the flesh had already decayed and gone. But there's still a lot that are still entombed. They never did get saved. My mind goes from the Frank slide to those who don't get saved in a spiritual sense. There's a verse in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20 that says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In other words, all the gospel meetings are finished. The Lord has come. The door of heaven is closed. And I'm not saved. I never got saved when I could have. Sad thing to think of people that don't get saved. Not everybody gets saved. But I want to just tell you about that verse from Romans chapter 13 and Romans 10 and verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, what kind of a message or messenger would I be if I was to stand up here and say, folks, you have absolutely no hope. You're just waiting till the wrath of God falls on this world or until you die, and it's going to be lights out for you. What kind of a message would that be? I'm very thankful I can stand here tonight and with the authority of God's word and say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I told you about a landslide. That's when the rock breaks away from the mountain and falls down the mountain. I'm going to tell you about an avalanche. Now, you don't have to remember both the avalanche and the landslide when next Friday or Thursday, whenever it's going to be. Long as you remember one of them. An avalanche is when there's a whole lot of snow up in the mountain. And the snow breaks away and comes rumbling down the mountainside, and it can travel 80 miles an hour. And I can tell you, nobody can ski away faster than that. You don't want to be in the way, in the road, in the pathway of a sweeping avalanche. An avalanche when the snow comes falling down the mountainside. I sat a couple chairs away from a young fellow in a gospel tent back in 98. He hadn't heard the gospel very often. And that particular night, as the preacher was preaching, he quoted a poem as he is talking about the importance of being ready to die. He talked about a poem that's written on the tombstone in a cemetery somewhere. And the poem goes something like this: passerby, stop and think. I'm in eternity. You're in the brink. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare to follow me. And as the preacher, in his solemnness and seriousness, tried to inform his audience of what a serious thing it is to go on without God, and of the importance to prepare to meet God, this young man laughed. I looked at him. Thought, well, that's your choice. I read about that young man 4 or 5 months later. He'd been skiing out in the Selkirk Mountains, just above the Kokanee Lake, close to Nelson, B.C., about 5 hours west of the Frank Slide. So we're taking a little drive out Highway number 3 tonight. And as the avalanche of snow came down, some of his friends escaped. Him and a friend got caught in it and were swept onto this lake that was not frozen over yet. His friend was able to get out of the mess of snow and slush. But Michael didn't. His friend said one of the worst things was hearing his friend crying out as he is going down in the slush and the snow and down into the lake. Help me! Save me! When there was nothing I could do to save him. His body is still buried, entombed beneath the waters of that lake. Nobody could save him. I'm thankful that tonight, when it comes to the salvation of your soul, there's somebody who can save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever tells me there's no age limit. I see good friends Alan and Ann down here from Mitchell. We had a tent there in 02. Can it be that long ago? And a lady, 91 years of age, got saved. She said to Mark and I at the close of the meeting one Saturday night, she says, Where you boys be today? She spoke with an old German accent. She tried to get us on the phone, and she couldn't. She tried to phone her pastor, and he didn't answer. So she said, I just had to do it myself. I said, Mary, what'd you have to do yourself? She said, I just got saved myself. I said, what did you do? She said, I just told Jesus what a bad sinner I was and that he died for my sins on the cross. And I said, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. 91 years of age. No age limit. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 5-year-olds can get saved. 4-year-olds can get saved. Whosoever can get saved. And whatever age you might be, in between 4 and 104. Whosoever. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord to save your soul from sin, why not do it tonight? There's no age limit. There's no alert hindrances or restrictions. As Michael called out that afternoon, his voice only went a little ways. His voice never reached those who could really save him. Too many restrictions. When it comes to you calling out to the Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter where you're going to call from. It doesn't matter what time of the night you might call. There's nobody that's going to call from any place, from anywhere. But your call is going to reach the ears of God, the ears of the Lord Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sometimes calls don't go through. It happened to me one time. I was telling someone about it just last night. Brother Pete Smith and I were having tent meetings in Brandon. We'd had some vandalism, and so I kind of teased the vandals. They'd slashed a blimp, got it fixed the next day, and so the next night I put it up, but instead of just putting it up, I put it up with a light under it. I thought, this will really get them. Not only to see the blimp flying again that said eternity written on it, but now it's flying at night. So I said to Brother Pete, they'll be back tonight. So I'm going to go hide back in the trees in the van, and you wait for my call in your trailer. And his trailer is parked quite a ways away. So sure enough, I wasn't there half an hour, about 11 o'clock at night. Into the Keystone grounds, and Brandon drives this car. Way off in the distance, there's 5 people get out, and the car drives away. And these 5 people start making their way through the shadows and through the trees over towards the tent. And I'm watching them, getting closer, closer, and closer. I thought, okay, it's time to call. The cellular customer you're trying to reach is out of service. My call didn't get through. I had to go take them on myself. I'll tell you something. If you call out to the Lord tonight to save you from your awful sins, your call will get through. He will hear you. He will answer you. He will save you. There's no ability limit to save here. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. Those that run into it are safe. He will save to the uttermost those that come unto God by him. No ability restrictions there. God can save the worst sinner. There's no assurance limit with this. shall be saved. No doubt about it. No doubt. 100% for sure. He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have the assurance and security of everlasting life, shall have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him tonight, and you'll be saved. Let's pray.